KTY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a warning that the Apostle Paul gave to Timothy as recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron," and the passage goes on. Also in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, there's a warning as the Apostle John writes, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Today, indeed, there are those who are departing from the faith, departed from the stated faith. Most notably of recent is Joshua Harris, who declared, "I am not a Christian." Another is Marty Sampson, the songwriter for Hillsong, who said, "I'm genuinely losing my faith." Well, here to discuss the matter of departing from the faith, we welcome Don Vino. Don is a co-founder and president of Midwest Christian Outreach. It's a national apologetics ministry and mission to new religious movements. He has been involved in apologetics ministry for over three decades. He's a charter member of the International Society of Christian Apologetics, also a staff researcher, writer for the Midwest Outreach Journal. Don, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
It is my pleasure to be with you on a sad topic indeed.
Yes, indeed. And we're going to delve further into this, which we trust will not only be informative, but also serve as a warning as well. Don, we're going to be looking further at these two individuals in particular, but I'm guessing, though, that they're not alone in walking away from a faith that they once professed.
They are not alone. And I want to bring up one other passage to add to something that you said, which I think really impacts on our discussion. It occurs in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 through 14, where the writer says, "About this we have much to say." He's talking about apostasy. "And it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." You're hard of hearing, folks. There's a problem here. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again about the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled and the word of righteousness." Unskilled, that's a key word there. "Since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." Now, here's why I think that's important to me. Hopefully I'm not derailing your next question, but as I looked at and wrote on the Josh Harris issue, my question was, he's departing from which faith?
Mm-hmm.
That he existed within the evangelical and, more correctly, kind of the fundamentalist church environment growing up, his was a faith that we might call a sexual prosperity gospel.
Now, let me set the stage for this a little bit, Don, because you're right. You did walk into my next question here. But
okay.
So as we take a look closer at these two individuals, many are familiar with Joshua Harris. He's the author of I Kiss Dating Goodbye. He also wrote Boy Meets Girl, Say Hello to Courtship. Some 19 months ago, apologized for his books, stepped down as lead pastor from Covenant Life. More recently announced he was separating from his wife after 19 years of marriage. He and his wife wrote on their Instagram accounts, "It is with sincere love for each other and understanding of our unique story as a couple that we're moving forward with this decision." Then we have a statement saying, "I have undergone a massive shift in regard to my faith in Jesus." He wrote on Instagram. The popular phrase for this is deconstruction. The biblical phrase is falling away. "By all the measurements I have for defining a Christian, I am not a Christian. Many people tell me that there is a different way to practice faith, and I want to remain open to this, but I'm not there now." And before I continue with the LGBT issue, Don, let me have you go back now and address this matter.
Okay. So the environment he grew up in was someone else made up this term, but I like it. I think it really describes it. The sexual prosperity movement that really exists from certain teachers, Bill Gothard being one of them. Josh's own father, Greg Harris, also taught the same kind of thing. And that is the idea that if I act a certain way, if I perform in certain ways, if I refrain from certain acts, I will be healthy, wealthy, I'll have a great-looking wife, a good sex life, wonderfully behaved children. But then you run right smack in the face of life itself, and it doesn't really pan out. And so you begin abandoning a faith that you thought was a biblical faith, but it actually is a different religion. It's not Christianity, because it's based on what you're able to do and how you're able to perform. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, that you have promises of great rewards as a result of your behavior. But what do you do then with Hebrews 11? I mean, the heroes of faith did not live well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So which kind of a God is he rejecting? We need to know that. And he has a similar, then, statement to the one that Hillsong's Marty Sampson said. Mm-hmm. Now, I just want to, and again, if I'm stepping on your toes, just slap me down. I'm good with that. But he writes that how many preachers fall? Many. No one talks about it. How many miracles happen? Not many. No one talks about it. Why is the Bible full of contradiction? No one talks about it. Now, I have responses to all of those. Yes, people do talk about it. Apologists, discernment ministries, and pastors who base what they teach on a regular basis by verse, exposition, in context, on matters of defense of the faith. That's one of the most talked about subjects in Scripture and one of the least talked about in churches.
Hmm. Don Vino with us here today on Crosstalk. And as we examine Josh Harris, this is a man who stood in the pulpit, Don.
Well, that's true. He stood in the pulpit, but does that mean he actually understood what the faith was?
Mm-hmm.
There are different questions. I'm currently reading, I really like this, it was written in 1923 by J. Gresham Machen. I don't know if you know who that is or if their listeners do. If you don't, you need to get familiar with him. He was a Presbyterian, president of Yale for a while, pastor, and he was fighting against the growth of liberalism within the Protestant church. And this is a theme we keep revisiting over and over down through history. Is the departure from the faith. It's not something new. It's something that's been going on since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And he argues in his book, it's called Christianity and Liberalism, that liberalism is not Christianity. It is, in fact, a different faith altogether. So just because someone has gone to seminary, just because someone is in a pulpit, just because someone possesses a Bible in their hand, doesn't mean they actually know what it says.
Yeah. Josh Harris took this even further, and I'd like to also share some of the matters that he said on LGBT issues. And he wrote to the LGBTQ plus community, I want to say I'm sorry for the views that I taught in my books. And as a pastor regarding sexuality, I regret standing against marriage equality for not affirming you and your place in the church and for any ways that my writing and speaking contributed to a culture of exclusion and bigotry. And then just less than two weeks ago, the Christian Post reported, as you know, Don, that Joshua Harris marched in the Vancouver Pride Parade and posted a photo of himself alongside LGBT advocates as well.
Sure, and this is a growing problem, and it comes from kind of the same root place, and that is a lack of serious teaching and engagement with biblical ideas in a largely pagan culture, which is where we exist right now.
Mm-hmm.
For 1,700 years, roughly, the Western culture has been guided by Judeo-Christian morality. That doesn't mean everyone was Christians, obviously. But the Christian worldview predominated how we treat each other. Even our laws are based largely on a Judeo-Christian ethics and morality. And so over the last 120 years, there's been a slight shift away from that that's been especially pronounced in the last about 10 years. So with that, we see massive changes in culture, and because so many Christians, number one, have a kind heart, we want to think the best of other people. We don't want to be perceived as mean-spirited. And I agree with that. I don't either. And yet, because we're not biblically trained and ready to ask difficult questions, it is just easy to give in and say, you know, I'm really sorry I ever said you were a sinner. I take that back. I don't think Scripture gives us that option. Mm-hmm. I just don't.
I mean, when we see him talking about standing against what he called marriage equality, and we know what God says in his word as to marriages between a male and a female, doesn't this really go back to the heart of even what the serpent said in the garden? Yea, hath God said, even questioning the biblical truth, questioning the Bible from which they stood in the pulpit to proclaim?
That is exactly right. In fact, our blog this week, you probably haven't had a chance to read it, is titled, In the Beginning, Heresy.
Hmm.
As I said, this is not a new issue. The heresy began in the beginning.
Yeah.
What does Satan say? I will make myself like the Most High. I will be like God. So he was self-deceived. And in turn then, he deceived Eve. So the self-deceiver deceived Eve, who in turn recruited the willing. That would be Adam. And so that's kind of what we see going on even today. This has just gone down through history. And we have times where it seems the church becomes strengthened, usually through this kind of adversity. There's a shakeout amongst those who are truly dedicated to living the Word of God versus those who want to be socially embraced.
Wow.
And I think that's what we're seeing here.
Mm-hmm. Folks, certainly we are seeing a movement that is taking place in our world today that continues to question what God has said in his word. Yea, hath God said. I mean, modern day preachers increasingly will not stand up for the tenets of the faith. We don't want to proclaim doctrine. Doctrine divides. We need to be unified with one another. We're going to be taking a quick break. Don Vino is our guest here today on Crosstalk. He is co-founder and president of Midwest Christian Outreach. They're a national apologetics ministry. And we're going to examine this even further right after the break, as well as the statements that have come out from Marty Sampson more recently here in recent days, who has come out and declared his departure as well from the faith, saying, I'm genuinely losing my faith. Back in just 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, why do scientific dating methods seem to indicate that the world has a vast age?
Chris, in most dating efforts, you must observe a present-day process and the state of that system affected by that process. Then you conclude how long it would take for that process to produce the present state. The main assumption is that the rate of that process has never been much different than it is now. For instance, we might date the Mississippi Delta by estimating how long it would take for the Mississippi River to bring enough silt down to build up that huge delta. But if a great flood had occurred in the past, the rate of delta buildup might have been much different than today. If we include Noah's flood in our thinking, then most dating techniques actually give a date far too young to allow for evolution to occur. They're consistent with the biblical doctrine of the young earth, the one we read about back in Genesis.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, departing from the faith. Don Vino is our guest. He's co-founder and president of Midwest Christian Outreach. And Don, I'd like to turn our attention right now to Marty Sampson as well, a songwriter for Hillsong. There's a number of churches worldwide that are singing the songs that he has written. He posted on Instagram recently, "I'm genuinely losing my faith, and it doesn't bother me. Like, what bothers me now is nothing. I'm so happy now, so at peace with the world, it's crazy." Is that what Scripture calls us to be, at peace with the world?
Well, no. It doesn't. In fact, Scripture tells us the world is a very difficult place because as humans we are dead in trespass and sin.
Friendship with the world is enmity against God.
It does say that.
Yeah, it is.
And again, you know, as I mentioned earlier, in Hebrews it talks about having the powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil.
Mm-hmm.
Are we training our people in churches, our youth especially, because they're being impacted? I have to deal with my grandkids on these issues because they are now in high school and they are being challenged on a regular basis by a federal government that is pushing to instill these new concepts and lack of morality as being culturally acceptable. They need to be able to be able to stand up against that. It's not enough just to live in the world. You have to be able to stand against these kinds of argumentation. And they're just not ready.
Yeah. You gave a quote, and I'm going to give that again, Don, and expand it just a little bit in the posting that Marty Sampson gave. He said, "This is a soapbox moment, so here I go. How many preachers fall? Many. No one talks about it. How many miracles happen? Not many. No one talks about it. Why is the Bible full of contradictions? No one talks about it. How can God be love yet send 4 billion people to a place all because they don't believe? No one talks about it. Christians can be the most judgmental people on the planet. They can also be some of the most beautiful and loving people, but it's not for me." He said, Don, he's not in anymore and desires genuine truth. Now, I open up the pages of Scripture and it says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Further comment on this, because as you mentioned earlier, he's perhaps not in circles, but this indeed is going on. But respond even to that claim about how can God be love yet send 4 billion people to a place all because they don't believe?
Okay. Well, the trick word there is send. What does God do? Send. So because God doesn't force them to have peace with him, they equate that to sending them somewhere. No, he gives them the option. You can believe and be justified, or you can not believe, but there is your destination.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't a secret. He hasn't hidden it from them, and they make their choices. Now, if they choose not to believe, he goes, fine, that is your choice. So did they send him somewhere? Is it my job, for example, to prevent someone from self-destruction? No, it is not.
But when we see what God did do, Don, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I mean, that is genuine love. God saying, hey, I've got a way. I've paved the way. I've sent my son. You don't have to go down this pathway that leads to destruction, that leads to hell.
Correct. He has done everything for us. You just have to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you reject, so it's not a matter of what God has chosen to do. It is a matter of our rebellion. That's what it comes back to. And somehow we want to make God responsible for our rebellion. It's kind of like when my children were younger and they wanted to go off and do something, I would say, you should not do this. There is going to be a consequence to this. You will not be happy with that consequence. And then they did it anyway, and guess what? There was a consequence. And then they look at me and go, why didn't you save me from that? Well, that was their choice.
Yeah.
They knew what the consequences would be, and they made their choices.
Don, I want to examine a couple other statements because it really brings science into this as well. Stated that science continues to pose issues for religion, and that he now views Christianity as just that, a religion that doesn't necessarily explain why a person's life is transformed. He said, "I want genuine truth, not the 'I just believe it's kind of truth.' Science keeps piercing the truth of every religion."
Okay, it's an interesting statement, but obviously he gives no actual examples where that happens. So you have scientific evidence, but there are explainers of that evidence, and they come from a particular worldview. I'll give an example. I had a situation where I was asked to debate a professor at a college, a local junior college, on Darwinism. And so I agreed, and had never debated a professor before, so I thought it might be interesting. And he asked if I was a young Earth creationist or an old Earth creationist, and I said, well, I tend to be a young Earth creationist. And so he decided not to debate me. Kind of interesting. So they had me come anyway, and I gave my presentation, compared the, quote, scientific evidence from a creationist and a evolutionist standpoint. Afterwards, several students were unhappy because they said, well, the way you painted it makes it sound like Christianity is more compatible with science than is Darwinism. I said, well, that's true. And so they had him come. I went to his presentation. I thought it would be interesting, and he gave his presentation. I said, now, let's ask a few questions along the way here. And they really came down to the process of reproduction. How do we go from divide and multiply single-cell reproduction to male-female reproduction, and what are all of the steps in between those? In the end, what you end up having is at least three miracles have to happen in order to get from one to the other. You have to have a male pop into existence, fully formed and functioning, a female pop into existence, fully formed and functioning, ready to reproduce. They have to have that happen at about the same time in about the same location. In other words, you have to have actually four miracles have to happen in order for reproduction like that to happen. And he had no answer. Or what about, here's a fun one, the Oparin effect, we'll call it. A professor by the name of Oparin came up with the idea of how life began with the primordial soup. We don't know where the primordial soup came from. We don't know where the planet on which it rests came from. We don't know where the universe came from. It just all kind of popped into existence, called the Big Bang. But the Oparin effect said something stirred up the primordial soup, lightning struck the primordial soup, and 21 amino acids popped into existence and created a cell.
Mm.
Now, does that sound like science or science fiction?
Yeah, yeah. Science fiction.
Science fiction.
Don, another statement that came from Marty Sampson, lots of things help people change their lives, not just one version of God. Got so much more to say for me, I'm keeping it real. Christianity just seems to me like another religion at this point. What does make Christianity unique?
Well, I can't comment on his view of Christianity. It may indeed be a religion. What makes Christianity unique is it is a relationship between me and God, between you and God. It is an individual relationship. Once we come into that relationship, our sins not only have been paid for, but I have now accepted the payment or accepted the embrace that God has extended to me, and I am adopted as a child of God. See, one of the things that happens here is many think that all humans are children of God. That's just not the case.
Right.
You are not a child of God until you are accepted, receive salvation, and are born again. Then you are adopted by God and are a child of God. And so the difference is a relationship versus a set of religious rituals we must perform. It's a huge difference. It's like the difference between my daughter being my daughter and a neighbor coming over to my house. They're not my child. I would be kind to them,
mm-hmm.
but they're not my child.
Don, since reports of his original posting came out, he's backtracked some. Originally said he was genuinely losing his faith, but now he's clarifying that, saying, well, I haven't, he said that he hasn't renounced his Christianity. It's nevertheless on incredibly shaky ground. And even with these statements, I'm confident that this is impacting many who have followed him, looked up to him as a worship song writer, leader. If you could comment on what impact is there on others when one who's been lifted up in the Christian community walks away from his faith or makes statements like we've heard today.
I think it does shake them up because their faith is informed by the music they hear, the books they read, the people they hang around with. I am really persuaded that most of us have our worldview shaped and affirmed by osmosis. By that I mean, it isn't something that is personal to us that we've studied out and asked the difficult questions. It is something that we have heard, that others have passed on to us, that we believe and trust and like, whatever. It's in the books we read, the films we watch, the music we listen to. Hillsong is not an Orthodox group to begin with. Some have dubbed their music the Jesus is My Boyfriend genre, which is pretty close. I mean, it's very emotionally gripping, but it is not theologically informed. And so if you're getting your theology from worship music like that, then you have a shallow view of God to begin with. So when someone of this high rank in your life leaves, it starts shaking you up to wonder, is what I believe true? Now, that can actually be good if it drives them to search it out for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Don Vino here with us today in Crosstalk. Jude, verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Don, how do we keep from going down the path that we see here from the likes of Joshua Harris or Marty Sampson? How do we keep from going down that path?
Well, you know, Hebrews says to not forsake the assembling together of yourselves, as is the manner of some.
Mm-hmm.
You gather together for particular reasons. It is to learn the Word of God for yourself. It is to encourage one another as a group, because your faith is going to be attacked. It is to be mentored by others who have walked this path ahead of you, because you know that they have struggled with these issues in their life, and they can pass on wisdom from their experience that you're not getting in other places. I recently spoke at my home church, and a question of discipleship comes up in nearly every church, and they look for some formal way to disciple people, and I said, here's the deal, folks. You are all already discipling. You're either doing a really good job or a really bad job.
Yeah.
And the way we prevent these things is to recognize what living the faith is like by the biblical characters. I mean, you know, Paul was shipwrecked, beaten, all sorts of things. He didn't have a great life, as far as we can tell.
Yeah.
And yet he remained faithful.
We're going to take a quick break here. Don Vino is our guest. Have handy a sheet of paper, a pen or pencil. We'll be giving you his website in just a moment. If you have a question, give us a call, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
Evolution as an idea is considered a rock-solid truth among secular scientists. But when you begin looking at the evidence and asking simple questions, you find their conclusions to be just fragile assumptions, unproven myth, and outright misconceptions. Like a glass house on shifting sands. In the book Glass House, general editors Ken Ham and Bodie Hodge, along with a team of credentialed scientists, researchers, and biblical apologists, take on the pillars of evolution. The truths they reveal decimate Darwin's beliefs using a biblical and logical approach to evidence. Learn what science is and how science is actually devastating to evolution. You'll also learn how evolution developed from unproven science to a popular and cultural worldview. Copies of Glass House are available for a donation of $16 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Don Vino is our guest today. He is co-founder and president of Midwest Christian Outreach. Our topic, departing from the faith. And we've seen just in recent weeks those who are making such statements, namely that of Joshua Harris. Also Marty Sampson talking about his genuinely losing his faith. I haven't renounced my Christianity, he's saying, but I'm on incredibly shaky ground. What's causing that? Why is this happening today? And how do we keep from going down this path? Don Vino with us. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Don, you made reference to an article that you've posted. You email out newsletter writings. You put regular postings on your site. How can our listeners stay informed and, should I say stay warned on these issues?
Well, we'll give one address and then everything else they can get from there. That is Midwest Outreach. It's all one word, midwestoutreach.org. From there they can sign up on our e-letter that goes out every Thursday. They can go to our YouTube channel where we have the Unknown webcast, and we tackle a lot of these issues on there. I have to give a word of warning because we love satire, so we make up pretend commercials. Like your business.
And let's not go down that path, but the website is midwestoutreach.org, and people can get your writings here, midwestoutreach.org. Let's go to the phone lines. We have Phil calling from Racine, Wisconsin. Hi, Phil, you're on the air.
Hey, earlier you had mentioned something about the difference between personal relationship and the relationship with God constructed from the text. So, What do you do when the personal ESP relationship with Jesus is different than the text? At what point does the text become an idol that one worships over the actual real Jesus?
Well, I guess I'm not sure how to respond to that exactly. That would be like saying, I have a letter from my wife, and that becomes more important to me than my wife. That would obviously be a problem. But what we know mostly about Jesus comes from the text. We can't really know that much about him apart from his self-revelation.
I have thoughts of a follow-up here.
So, Phil, hopefully you understand that the self-revelation or relationship with Christ is in no way contradictory to what the Word of God has to say.
Right.
And how would you know that?
How do we know that?
How do you know that?
Well, certainly we know that from his word, that his word is truth. So if something comes along that's contradictory to God's word, then we would have to say that is not truth.
And at what point does the personal extrasensory perception relationship with Jesus come into play then? Is there any relevance at all to it?
There's not an ESP relationship. Don, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, right. You have emotional reactions, but your emotional reactions are not what forces you to make a decision. The facts of who he is determines how we respond to him. There are many today, especially in particular movements, who want to formulate their ideas about God based on their senses, their feelings, and their emotions. But Scripture tells us that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all else. Who can know it? We cannot make our final decisions based on how we feel about things. Our feelings should be informed by what is factually true.
Phil, we'll give you a chance for one more follow-up here.
So why did the creators give us feelings if we're not supposed to use them?
Oh, that's a different kind of a question. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we are supposed to use them, but
sure. They
are not our guide. I might feel like I should have an affair with a woman down the street, but my feelings are not the guide. The Word of God is the guide, which says that relationship would be adultery. I would be violating my vow to my wife, and it is sin. So my feelings can deceive me. They have to be informed and kept in check based on what God's revelation tells us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Phil, for your call here today. Let's go to Roy calling next. Roy, you're on the air.
Here's a one-sentence question. If a person remains a solid evangelical Christian, is he obligated to accept Josh Harris's rejection of dating, or is Dr. Neil Clark Warren on the right track in advocating the use of eHarmony.com dating process to lead Christian men to marry compatible Christian women?
It's actually a multi-sentence question with a lot of commas. The truth is, we don't have a biblically laid out, inspired method of procuring a wife. What we have is general guidelines about how to live, and seeking God's will. So, I get this question quite often, frankly. Is courtship the right way? Depends on the culture. Depends on who you are. Is dating the right way? Depends on the culture. Depends on who you are. I have friends who were raised in India, and their wives were picked up for them the day they were born. They married them and have lived very successful lives and marriages. Others have not. So the question comes down to how do you meet somebody and how dedicated are you to living the faith out in your marriage?
You know,
you go about getting it.
I would just like to refer you to yesterday's broadcast here on Crosstalk as we spoke with Susan Heck, who has written the publication, What Does a Spirit-Filled Marriage Look Like? And to build those qualities in one's life are so very, very critical. And if you missed that program, that certainly would be worth listening to as we offered that booklet as well yesterday, What Does a Spirit-Filled Marriage Look Like? We're going to Miami, Florida next. And, Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless all you saints. Sometime I'm happy, sometime I'm mad when I hear the devil. You don't follow no man. You follow Jesus. If you want to know how to live, read Leviticus 18 through 21, those chapters. God don't make no mistakes. And there's no mistakes in the Bible.
Yeah.
If you're confused about it, you just ask Jesus, Lord, will you open this up to me? The Bible don't contradict itself.
Yeah.
We serve a holy God. And as far as that so-called preacher that left the faith, the Bible talks about many shall depart from the faith in the latter times. Saints, read your Bible.
Yeah.
Read your Bible. I go, every time I read my Bible, I go to St. John and I say, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall guide and teach you all truth. We are to believe God. The man on the other side of the cross, the one that got saved, he believed Jesus. Jesus told him, you will be today with me in my Father's paradise. Saints, hold on to Jesus. Don't
Amen.
Follow a man. Jesus said, follow me. God bless y'all. I just get mad when I hear people trying to mix up people on the air, asking them the guest host all kind of what I call some of our stupid questions to try to get him in a trap.
Yeah.
No, the Bible is your way. It's
Amen.
Your guideway to heaven.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you all now.
Thank you, Courtney. Appreciate that. And Don, that's what we espouse. The Word of
Pretty
God
much.
Is our standard, yes.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you for the call, Courtney. Our number 800-733-9829. Lynn is our next caller. Lynn, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm just wondering, it says in the Bible that God will hold on to us and that he will keep us for the end time. But when you see these people falling away, does that mean they never really knew the Lord? Or does it just mean that he's let go of them? I don't understand what's happened.
Okay, I need to walk a little carefully around this question, and here's why. Midwest Christian Outreach, we fixate on the essential doctrines of the faith. Nature of God, nature of man, nature of salvation, inerrancy of scripture, those kinds of things. When we come to these other important, definitely important, less clear issues, I hedge. Now, my view is this. I believe that once you are born again, you are a child of God, regardless of what happens later. And I base that on a couple of things. In 1 Corinthians 5, we have the situation of a guy who is in such serious sin that the pagans don't even commit it. Paul says he's going to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh that his soul may be preserved. So he may die physically as a result of his actions and behaviors, but he's still redeemed. Is it possible that Josh Harris is a child of God in spite of what he's doing now? Yes, it is. Do I know that? And I think Jim Schneider would agree with this. I don't know that. I don't know someone's heart. So I don't know what his standing before God is or ever was.
And this is about the place, Don, where even chastening comes in from the Lord when right. He disciplines his children. And even those who, in Scripture, we see in Corinthians, where they took of communion, the Lord's Supper unworthily, how they were taken prematurely in death as a result of that sin that was there. So my focus on this is boils down to this. Joshua Harris is a man in need of prayer. And
right.
Folks, I don't know his heart either, but the Lord does. And either he's a man in need of repentance or a man in need of salvation, and only God knows that. Thank you, Lynn,
right.
for the call. Carl in Findlay, Ohio, you're on the air.
I'd like to mention some scripture references about departing from the faith. It's 1 Timothy chapter 3, where it says, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Yeah, that's 1 Timothy 4:1. We read that at the beginning, Carl.
Chapter 3, and also Matthew chapter 24, about departing from the faith. Do you feel that these things are happening, and does this indicate to you that Jesus might be coming soon?
Thank you for the question here. Any thoughts on that, Don?
Well, I think that there will be an abandonment of the faith. I think it's pretty clear from Scripture as we get closer to the latter days, if we are not in them already. Yeah, absolutely. And I think we see that happening nearly wholesale in many churches as they get involved in the woke movement and adopting the anagram and following false teachers like Richard Rohr. It's going to become increasingly more difficult to stand firm for the faith for many.
Thank you for the call here, Carl. We're just seconds from the break, so we'll pick up our next callers right after the break. Don Vino with us here today on Crosstalk. We're speaking about departing from the faith. And again, folks, we also have the scripture that says, you know, by their fruits, we know them. I mean, that is what it boils down to. And we observe that. We can be fruit inspectors in that regard. And certainly these times are troubling. Don's website, by the way, is MidwestOutreach.org, MidwestOutreach.org. We're back in just 1 minute. We'll take more of your calls after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Last week, we had the tragic shootings in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio. And liberals are quick to blame conservatives and Christians and claim it is due to racism. Reality is, the progressive socialist liberals should be celebrating what has just occurred because they have been agitating for it and creating it for generations. They have been deliberately trying to destroy the institutions of America that have led to this tragedy and more to follow. So why are they crying? Why are they upset? You and I both know most of these progressives are not upset at all. This is what they have wanted. Chaos. They've wanted to destroy the family, law, order, sanctity, security. Why? So they could exploit the crisis. As Saul Alinsky said, change comes from the conflict. Agitate to the point of conflict. The progressives have gotten what they wanted. They've removed God from America's moorings, and this is the fruit.
We'll be right back. John Vino is our guest here today on Crosstalk. We're talking about departing from the faith. And yes, it is a question. Was faith ever truly a part of an individual? And certainly we look at the characteristics coming forth now and statements being said. No, they don't line up with Scripture and what a true believer in Jesus Christ is. God does know the heart and knows the individual. And as I mentioned, is either heading toward the pathway of ultimate destruction or one of ultimate discipline that would be taken care of there. MidwestOutreach.org is the website for our guest. MidwestOutreach.org. Let's go to Florida. And Carlos, you're on the air.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking my call. I just want to call in reference to, or make a comment in reference to a gentleman who called a few minutes ago in reference to, he says, how do you know if you're more in love with the Word than you are of Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ, if you're in love with Him more than the Word, and how they complement each other is my thoughts. But I look back at the fact that some of the questions, brother, are so simple and so, I guess, naive. So you question whether those people are Christians or not, but the answer should always come from Scripture. For example, this gentleman here asking, how do you know? Well, when Jesus was being baptized in the Jordan River, the Spirit of God came down and bore witness as to who He was. So how do you know? When the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will bear witness with the Word that, in fact, this is Jesus. Because the Word of God will never say anything contrary to who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. So that's the answer this guy should be given. The Word of God says that the Spirit of God will bear witness as to who this person is. Because if you don't understand that, when the Antichrist comes around, you're going to be duped. And you are going to fall away from the faith. So for me, like this other gentleman recently said, get into the Word and know the Word.
Yeah.
And every answer should be based on the Word.
Thank you, Carlos. Appreciate the call. Debbie in Zanesville, Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes. I like to say that I like to hear Courtney from in Miami, Florida. I was rooting for him. I said, "Yay, Courtney!" There in Miami, Florida. But it says in 2 Timothy 2:12, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he shall also deny us." And it just seems like in the latter times we are departing from the faith, mm-hmm. and that's pretty frightening.
Yeah, it is.
And I think we are in the last days, Jim.
Yep. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you for those comments. Brad in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. Courtney got it right. Read your Bible.
Yeah.
And we need to remember, one of Jesus' names is the living Word of God, and the Bible is the written Word of God, so they agree. I know detractors like to say that the Bible's old, the Bible's outdated, you need to get hip with the times, but Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away.
That's right.
You're not going to go wrong by reading the Bible. So just like Courtney said, read your Bibles, will you?
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Get it right on there. Janice in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for your program. I really think that a lot of these people forget the attributes of God. He's, first of all, holy, loving, merciful, and just. And He will hold us accountable for our unbelief. And I'm just thinking the people in Galatia where they were bewitched by some other philosophies. Who has bewitched you? You know, why have you turned to this idolatrous mindset of yours and fallen away from the grace of God? I mean, I'm a post-abortive mom. I learned what it meant to be a loving person for an unborn child that I aborted years ago. And I just feel like, you know, I didn't know what love was, but God's Word showed me what love was in 1 Corinthians 13.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Janice. Appreciate your comments. One of the common themes, Don, we've heard in this segment over and over is God's Word and the importance of being in God's Word. Because that's when we know the truth and we know what is genuine, we'll be able to detect that which is counterfeit.
Well, that is correct. And, you know, categorically, we need to know the difference between what God's Word comments on versus what other works deal with, for example. So if we start asking scientific questions, the Bible doesn't speak directly to those. It's not a book of science. But it is a book of how things came to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can comment on in the beginning, God created heavens and earth. We can clearly comment on that. We cannot necessarily from the Bible make a case for how amino acids work.
Yeah,
living the Christian life is clearly laid out in Scripture. And all what we have to do is, as so many callers have said, and you point that out, is stay in the Word, understand the Word, and then we will understand the will of God.
Let's squeeze one last call in. John in Texas, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I think Josh Harris was led astray by Tim Keller and a lot of the writers of these PhDs. They have 15 PhDs in philosophy and everything else, and they're in the Gospel Coalition. And he was heavily into Tim Keller and all of them, and that's what led him astray, in my opinion.
Okay. Thank you, John, for sharing your thoughts on that. Don, as we just kind of wrap things up here in the final 90 seconds, why does all this matter?
It matters because God told us it matters. It matters because if we want to know the truth, and Jesus is the truth, we can only find that by the revealed Word of God. Our understanding and be able to defend that helps us then to reach out to those in culture. What happens in church should be to train, equip, and comfort the saints. What happens once we leave the doors is our missionary endeavor to a lost and dying world. If we're not prepared to do that, we are not following God's word.
Yeah, indeed. And, folks, again, I give you the warning that came from Paul as he wrote to the Galatians, warning of those. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And he goes on again in the next verse to affirm that as well. Indeed, we need to hold to the tenets, to the truths, as we find them in God's Word, the Bible, the inspired Word of God. Don Vino is our guest today, and his website, MidwestOutreach.org, MidwestOutreach.org. Don, thank you so much for being with us today and your comment on a very critical issue for our times.
My pleasure being with you all.
Don Vino with us. Again, the website, MidwestOutreach.org. And you can sign up for the e-newsletter and other information articles that are there, and you'll see much writing and information on so many different topics. Our time is gone. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk as we continue to contend for the faith.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.